James is instructing us about the possibilities of another life that exists inside of us. This series is built on family matters. And tonight, I want to speak on the curse of double-mindedness. The curse in the family and in the individual of a double-minded approach to life, of living in double-mindedness. This past week, I read a story. Two men who lived in a small village got in a terrible dispute that they could not resolve. So they decided to talk to the town judge. The first man went to the judge's home and told his version of what happened. When he finished, the judge said, "You're absolutely right." The next night, the second man called on the judge and told his side of the story. And the judge responded, "You are absolutely right." Afterward, the judge's wife scolded her husband. "Those men told you two different stories, and you told them they were both absolutely right. That's impossible. They can't be both absolutely right." And the judge turned to his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." You know, the Bible is packed with examples of people who had double-mindedness. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.'" What was he saying? There's a tension. I'm torn between believing and not believing. There's always that inside that pulls against itself. Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41. "So these nations feared the Lord." That's good. That's right. That's spiritual. "And served their graven images." Whoa. That's not right. That's ungodly. That's idolatry. Now watch this. Here's what the Bible says. "Both their children and their children's children, as did their father, so do they unto this day." What's the curse of double-mindedness? The curse is that it's passed down to our children and our children's children. That we live on the fence and we live a double-minded life. And guess who catches on to that? Our children and our children's children. Hosea says of Ephraim, "He hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria." Wait, these are God's people. And they're going to the heathen. They're mixing with Assyria and they're mixing with Egyptians. And God says they're a silly dove without a heart. Their heart is divided in Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 2. You ever seen an oscillating fan? Oscillating fan you put in a room and hopefully to move some air around, and so it goes this way and it stays that way for about 2 or 3 seconds, and what does it do? It begins moving the other way. James chapter 1, verse number 8, that is exactly what James 1:8 is describing. An oscillating Christian. He's this way and then he's that way. He's this way, and then he's that way. He's divided. He's inconsistent. He has a divided heart. He has faith about something, and then he vacillates over to fear about it. And then he's back to faith, and he's back to fear. He's back and forth. You know, the Bible says we are epistles. Our lives are epistles that are read by others. Most importantly, they're read by our family. Yeah, the people that we spend the most time with. They read our lives. And if our lives are double-minded, they're vacillating all the time between good and evil, between moral choices and immoral choices, between right and between wrong, between things that would show true character and things that would be foolish and show shady character. It's being read. As Brother Peter said this morning, there's more people watching you and me than what we think. They're reading our epistle. They're reading our life. A double-minded believer is someone who's constantly living in a state of compromise. Compromise. A double-minded Christian is one that's being torn in two directions. He has a relation with Jesus Christ, a relationship, but he also has a relationship with a particular sinful obsession with the world. There's this double-mindedness. In which area of your life do you find yourself wanting two things that you know can't go together? And how does this area of double-mindedness create instability for you or someone close to you? Because it does have an effect on the home. I want you to see the description, first of all, tonight. If you're taking notes, you can write down point number one, the description. James writes of the doubting person that he's like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. You know, we used to go fishing, and when we went fishing in Ohio, we would check the weather forecast. Because there was a certain kind of wind that's good for fishing, and there's a certain kind of wind that's not good for fishing when you're out on the lake. There's good fishing if it's 1 to 3 foot waves, but you start getting into 5 foot waves and you're wondering if what you ate for breakfast is going to come up. It just is not fair. It's not friendly to being out on the lake. And so we would look, and we would look at the winds, because the winds would determine what the waves were. The winds would determine what the fishing would be like for that day. I think a northeast wind was not good. If it was coming from the northeast, you just knew you weren't going to have a good fishing day. But the amount of those winds, if it was 15 to 20 knots, we knew that there were going to be 3 to 4 foot waves. The waves were determined by the wind. Hear the Bible saying of a double-minded man that he's like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Waves don't determine how high they are. They don't determine what direction they go. They are driven by the wind and tossed. That means that whatever circumstances come into their life, they conform. The wave conforms to the wind, to the circumstances that it faces. So it is with a double-minded Christian. He conforms to the environment. Here's a Christian that comes to church on Sunday, and in between song service time, they're shaking hands and they're meeting people and they're showing a smile on their face and they're in their place, so to speak, on Sunday. But on internet, they're different. On Facebook, they're posting pictures that don't honor God. They're liking things that, if they just think through, you know, is this holy unto the Lord? They'd say, whoa, 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 I can't like that. They're posting profanity. And this does not compute. This does not make sense. This is a double-minded person. This is a person that is living in a state of compromise depending on where they're at and who they're with and what they see and what their heart tells them. They're different. They're a different person. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. The Bible says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, James says in James 3. These things ought not so to be among brethren. We're to leave double-mindedness. We're to live a single life and not allow circumstances and outside pressures and environments dictate to us how we live and how we display our Christianity. We're not to be double-minded. Description, like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. They're sending a confused message to believers, to fellow brethren, to family members. This doesn't work. This is not pleasing to the Lord. It's confusing others. It's confusing children. It's confusing your parents when you live a double-minded lifestyle. A double-minded person is restless in his actions and his behavior.
He's always in conflict with himself, torn by such inner conflict, never really chooses a side, serves all kinds of masters in his life. The term unstable is similar to a drunken man unable to walk a straight line, swaying one way and then the other. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He doesn't walk a straight line. You know what word in the Old Testament is parallel to that? The word froward. Proverbs talks a lot about frowardness. You know what it says about frowardness? You know what the definition of the word is? You're crooked. You don't walk a straight line. You're not the same all the time. You're not a trustworthy Christian. My friend, there's a curse that comes along with that. Let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. You can't live a double-minded life and expect the blessings of God and expect prayers to be answered and expect to see God working in your life and in your family. You can't walk both sides and expect it to work in God's eyes. God says, let that man not think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Nothing's coming from God your way, as long as you live that kind of a lifestyle. You're a vacillating, oscillating fan. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. What a reputation. Jacob speaking to his sons. And nobody knows a son like a father. A father knows his children. And he says to Reuben, he says in verse number 3, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Reuben, I think, was a strong man physically speaking. But notice what he says about him. He describes him. Three words, unstable as water. What does he warn Reuben about? He says, Reuben, thou shalt not excel. Now, what was he unstable as water about? His morals. Look at what it says. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up unto my couch. Reuben was unstable in his morals. That's a bad place to be unstable. It's bad to be unstable anywhere. It's real bad to be unstable in your morals, though. You're not a straight line. You're not an honest person. You don't guard your purity of mind. You don't guard your purity of eyes. You don't guard your purity of appearance. Ladies, you're not a straight line when you don't guard that. Your morals are important. Before a holy God, your morals are important. Reuben saw something in his son that was a very bad flaw. He was unstable, and he was unstable in the area of morals. Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness of two masters. Double-mindedness of having feelings that trump my faith. Well, I just feel this way. People live according to feelings. I dealt with it last Sunday as well. The world versus the church. Double-minded on spiritual discipline versus spiritual laziness. Double-minded on compromise versus separation. Double-minded on finances. I'm going to get a budget. I'm going to pay down my debt, preacher. I'm going to tithe. But not enough inner discipline to stick with any of it. And your actions and your lack of discipline in that area reveal your double-mindedness. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's a problem. It's a big problem. Going into the ministry and not going into the ministry. Called to ministry, and then I don't know if I'm called to ministry. And this back and forth, this flippy-floppy type of Christianity that, you know, I'll think about this over here for a while, and then my mind kind of fluctuates back over here. It's double-mindedness. Let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Thou shalt not excel, Jacob said to his son, when you live in a double-minded lifestyle. Double-minded men are those who are constantly speaking out of both sides of their mouth. If there's a time that this needs to be put away in our lives, the time is always now. We should not be content to live this way. God's not pleased when we live double-mindedness. It plays over into our family relationships. We love our mate one day, the next day we don't. It plays over into our job responsibilities. We're miserable one day, and the next day we think we'll stick with it. And the week later, I think I'm going to quit my job. And it's back and forth all the time. And I want you to know that it affects our families when we live that way. Members of a church, I've made commitments to my church, but I'm okay talking about on Facebook what I'm doing at home on Sunday when there's church going on. Double-mindedness. Something's not right. Not consistent. It's seen. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? Double-mindedness. What comes out of the mouth. He that is not with me, Jesus said, is against me. Can I make it real clear what the Bible teaches? If you are living a double-minded life, you are not with Christ. If you're not with me, you're against me. No man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't live a double-minded life and be with Christ. He says, you're not with me. He that's friendship of the world is at enmity with God. You can't live a double-minded life. You can't live with a step in the world and a step in the church. God says, I see through that. That means nothing to me. You're not with me. Here's a man who wants to have happiness in the world to come, but wants to live for the pleasures of sin for a season right now. You won't get both. It won't happen that way. Here's a man who starts godliness, but never gets consistency in his walk with God. Here's somebody that will repent of his sins and then get away from the Bible teaching and preaching where he comes under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And on Monday and Tuesday, he's repenting of his repentance. He's saying this, man, I should have never gotten that right with God. I love what I do in my flesh. He's a double-minded man. I want you to see in James chapter 1, in the context of which James is speaking, that he's speaking to 12 tribes in verse number 1 of James 1 that are scattered abroad greeting. These believers had become strangers in a foreign land, and there was a pull because of it. They wanted to be accepted, I'm sure. They were thrown out. They were persecuted because of their faith and thrown into a foreign environment. And James writes to them and says, listen, don't be double-minded. Be aware. Understand that you can't take on what you're in. You can't form yourself to the culture. And by the way, we can't either. The culture's saying all kinds of things that are against the church. The culture says, leave your wife. The culture says, leave the church. Why do you want to be in a church? Why do you want to be in a church that believes anything? Leave the church. The culture says, do what you want right now. Your life is yours. Trust your heart. That's what our culture says. And none of those things are right. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wait, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I need to be in a Bible-believing local church for my good so that I'm connected to truth and it solidifies me and it builds me up. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder in the context of marriage. The Bible says, if they treated you wrong, go find another one. And the Bible calls that adultery. We don't have freedom to go find another mate. We have a mate for life, but our culture is breathing things that, Christian, if you're not sharp, biblically, you will begin to buy into. You will begin to entertain those thoughts. And by the way, those choices, when you become double-minded. The distraction of the world contributes to this. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. There was a dispersion. There's a description. The dispersion of the believers into a foreign culture, into an ungodly culture, contributed to double-mindedness, but the distraction of the world. Look at verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you're risen with Christ. Question, Christian. When you got baptized, what did we tell the whole world? We told them we're risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the Bible goes on, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a strong statement. It is a statement in the form of an imperative or a command. We are to be constantly setting our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. What's my affections? That's my ambitions. That's my desires. That's the things that move me every day. And Christian, you need to know that the world is constantly fighting for your affections. It's going after your desires. It's working to stir up your ambitions. By the way, the entertainment industry is a big part of that in our world today. It breathes things to us. It breathes philosophies of life. The distraction of the world. I've always got to be looking for something better. I must have the latest. The world wants more of your hours. The world wants more of your heart. The world wants more of your time. The world wants more of your love. The world wants all of this. And you never see it as, you know what, I'm departing from the Lord. And my love is falling away. You know what? We never interpret it that way. You know why? Because those desires take over us. And we never realize what's taking place. That all the time my affections are becoming set on things right down here. Instead of set your affection on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, when I pray for you, I pray over these matters. Because I understand that the earth in my life is constantly going after my affections. All the time pulling my heart away from the Lord. To where I could come to a church service and not really be here in my affections. Walk through a song service and not really sing it from here to there. Listen to a message almost disinterested, almost like, preacher, get over, would you? I mean, you wouldn't say that. I don't think anybody would say that here. But our affections just aren't here. At times, our desires aren't here. Our delights aren't here. What's going on, preacher? Double-mindedness is setting in. Double-mindedness, torn, being torn in two directions. The deception of false doctrine can create double-mindedness. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He goes on and asks in the book of Galatians, how are you so soon removed from the faith? He goes on in Galatians and says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Something happened here, man. I don't understand. Churches of Galatia, there's something going on. And false doctrine had got in. Created a double-mindedness. Gospel, yes, but Judaism, yes. And brethren, that deception can, for us, can create a double-mindedness in us. We must know our doctrine and believe our doctrine. Discouragement can bring it about. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Without wavering, for He is faithful that promised us. Discouraged believers, suffering believers in the book of Hebrews, He gives them three charges in Hebrews chapter 10. Number one, hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering. Hey, don't begin to doubt your salvation. Number two, consider someone else to provoke them unto good works. There is a motive for staying down the straight line. That is others. Number three, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. If you're discouraged, you need to respond to those three truths. Hold fast to what you believe about God. Number two, provoke one another unto love and good works. Give your life to somebody else. Number three, don't get out of church. That's Bible, and that's good, solid Bible to help somebody that's discouraged from becoming double-minded. Double-minded. There's a departure. Demas lived with this double-mindedness for quite some time. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." I'm convinced that every believer fights the battle that I'm talking about right here. The battle of double-mindedness. And I'm convinced if you don't fight it and you don't get your mind single again, I'm convinced a double-minded man that goes down that path long-term departs. It's that serious. There's a curse to it. The curse is you can't live that way. You can't straddle forever. Some point, you're going to finally just give up, Demas. I don't know if Paul saw the signs. But I know this, Paul saw the results. One day Paul woke up and, "Paul, can I meet with you? Okay. What do we need to talk about? I'm leaving." "You're leaving? What are you leaving over, Demas?" "Paul, I don't want to discuss that with you. I got to leave." Now watch this, folks. That didn't happen overnight. That happened because there was an ongoing conflict within the soul of Demas over double-mindedness. And by the way, Paul the preacher didn't misread it. That's inspired by the Lord. He put it in the text for us. "He hath loved this present world, and as a result of loving this present world, he departed." Christian, you need to see the seriousness of this tonight. You're not going to excel living this way. Number two, you're not going to be blessed of the Lord. Let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Number three, you are on a path to departure if you don't deal with it. If you don't see it as serious tonight, you are on a path to departure. Number four, so is your family. That makes it all the more serious. If I live there, I'm not just living there for me. I'm living there and I'm going to affect the lives of my family. That is serious in my eyes. Ought to be serious in your eyes. And it is serious in the eyes of God. There's a deviation from spiritual leadership. Jesus, as he began to disciple and teach the truths of discipleship to his disciples. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse number 66, "For Demas," or from that time, "many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Ooh, I don't want to follow that leadership. That goes with double-mindedness. Became too hard. The danger of being double-minded, Christian, is that it causes your spiritual walk to slow to a crawl. No longer are you growing. You're going backwards. It causes your spiritual mind and heart and life to be dull. Your sensitivity, your discernment on manners is no longer there. Something happened. somewhere along the line, you began to think wrong. You began to allow things in here and in here. It started leading you to easily justifying and excusing something that earlier in your Christian life you would have never considered. Double-minded man is easily controlled, easily distracted, easily quits, easily sees both sides all the time. Well, I can kind of see where they're coming from. And it's against the Bible. And you're going along with it? That's not right. That's not a stand for truth. Double-minded person is an easy mark to hit. They're easy prey. I close with this. Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? How long you gonna conform to the environment?" The word halt means to go limping. You're a limping Christian. You're not steady. I'm not sure if you're going to fall. You're unstable. Huh? God's challenging you on it tonight. Stop living that way. What's the help, preacher? James 4 is the help. James 4 is draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's interesting that in the New Testament, the word singleness is connected to bountifulness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about that, and it says this. It says, being enriched in verse number 11, in everything to all bountifulness. That's singleness. Singleness of mind. Watch this. You're not producing spiritual fruit like you should when you're double-minded. It's not bountiful. It can't be. God wants you to be a fruit-producing Christian. But that requires something. A focus. That requires something. Single mind. Constantly resetting my affections on a daily basis unto the Lord. Question. Has double-mindedness entered into you? Hey, hear me. I believe it's a battle all Christians deal with. I believe that Christians go through it. But hear me. You hear a message on it like this, I don't think you should continue in it. It is the Spirit of God that brings it to light in our lives and says, stop! There's a stop sign here. You can't keep going that way. You got to get your mind single again. You got to understand what's contributing to that and get that, root that out of your life so that you can be single-minded. The curse of double-mindedness.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9673.
9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.